السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, in his time in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had written letters to multiple rulers inviting them all to Islam. One of those to whom he wrote was Heraclid, Heraclius, the emperor of Byzantium. And this letter was delivered by the ambassador of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known as Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu. Dihya al-Kalbi delivered this letter to Heraclius, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting him to Islam. And after reading this letter, the emperor asked his attendees and officials to go and seek out an Arab from the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he could ask that person about this individual. They found None other than Abu Sufyan Sakhr ibn Harb radiallahu anhu, who was there on a business trip. Now we say Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu now, may Allah be pleased with him. But at that time, Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim. He was still steeped in idol worship. And he was an opponent of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu later recounted this event, and he said that Heraclius instructed the travel companions of Abu Sufyan to stand behind him and listen. And he told the interpreter to say to his travel companions, tell them that I'm going to ask him about this man who sent the letter. And if he tells a lie, they should correct him immediately. They should contradict him immediately. Should Abu Sufyan tell a single lie, they need to speak up and say he's telling a lie. And when this was translated into Arabic, Abu Sufyan, who at the time was still a disbeliever, an opponent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, by Allah, had it not been shameful that my companions call me a liar, I would not have spoken the truth about him when he asked me. But I considered it shameful to be called a liar by my companions, so I told the truth. This is before Islam. At that time, Abu Sufyan is still a disbeliever, an opponent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had every reason to lie about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he didn't, because, as he said, had it not been shameful that my companions called me a liar, I would have lied. I wouldn't have spoken the truth when he asked me, but it would have been shameful to be called a liar by my companions. Therefore, I told the truth. What quality did Abu Sufyan possess at that time that kept him from lying? It was the quality of self-respect. It was izzatun nafs, it was karama. It was a sense of honor, self-respect, and dignity. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, an-nasu kama'adin, people are like mines of gold and silver. And the best of them in Jahiliyyah will be the best of them in Islam when they gain understanding of the religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that you take the good that you have with you before Islam and you bring it into your Islam. When Abu Sufyan embraced Islam, he was not expected to overhaul his character and to become a completely different person. He was to keep the good and get rid of the bad. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I have only been sent to perfect good character. He did not say to establish good character, rather to perfect, to enhance, to make it something beautiful, not to completely overhaul who we are as people. Last week, we were speaking about the importance of good character and how it is to be paired with knowledge. We talked about how character outweighs actions in many cases, how bad character can outweigh our good deeds, and how our good character can outweigh our bad deeds. We talked about how akhlaq, good character, is the hallmark of a true follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how the person with good character will be the closest of people to him on the Day of Judgment. Now, we've been speaking about this for some time. This is not the first time we've talked about akhlaq, but a lot of this is theory. It sounds good on paper, but how do we get there? How do we practically develop our akhlaq to become better people? Because good character is not just a one-time feeling, a passing emotion. I feel nice today, so I'm going to be nice to people, and therefore I have good character. That is not akhlaq. Akhlaq is not something that comes and goes. It's not a passing feeling or emotion. It is a fixed state that becomes our nature in how we deal with other people. But how do we change our character from bad to good? That is the question. The starting point for developing our character, I firmly believe, is with self-respect. Having self-respect, self-honor, and dignity, and despising what is lowly, despising what is cowardly, what is degenerate, what is decadent, what is corrupt. And that is because a person cannot develop themselves and become a better person if they are satisfied and pleased with being a lowlife, or being shameless, or being degenerate. If a person is satisfied with where they are, they're not going to do anything to improve. So you have to have that self-dignity and that self-respect in order to improve your character. If we lack self-respect, if we lack a sense of dignity and honor, it will be very hard to develop a good character. But with that sense of self-respect, we'll work on ourselves. We'll not be pleased with where we are. We'll strive to be better people. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to have this self-respect. He taught us to care for our bodies, our minds, and our souls, and to recognize the important position Allah has given human beings as ennobled stewards of Allah's creation. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. He says, we have indeed ennobled the children of Adam. And Allah does not say He has ennobled this group to the exclusion of that group, these people to the exclusion of those people. He says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have ennobled the children of Adam. And this means that every single human being, every single son or daughter of Adam عليه السلام, has intrinsic dignity and honor. And if they are humiliated and lacking in that dignity, it's because either they are being humiliated by others, or they are humiliating themselves. That is the reality. Allah has honored the children of Adam in many, many ways. Like animals, human beings have the ability to survive on this earth and to consume and reproduce. But we as human beings, as children of Adam, have something that no other creature has. And that is aql. That is the ability to reason and abstract. We don't just mean intelligence. We mean the ability to reason and abstract, to think things through, to choose the best possible outcome, to think about long-term consequences, and to prefer our self-respect and dignity over humiliation. What is self-respect? This izzatun nafs we speak of. Self-respect refers to honoring your own inherent self-worth. It's maintaining your dignity and believing that Allah has honored you as a son or daughter of Adam alayhi salam, and that you are therefore worthy of respecting yourself and being respected by other people. Izzatun nafs, self-respect, honor, dignity. This means holding yourself to a high standard and standing up for yourself if you're being mistreated. Self-respect is to respect your boundaries and not allow other people to encroach upon your boundaries. Self-respect is to have the courage to say no when it needs to be said. Self-respect is to consider your dignity and honor and how it is affected by your own words and your own behaviors, and to avoid situations where you may have to sacrifice your dignity. Dear brothers and sisters, it is related that during the Ottoman period, when the Ottoman Empire was ruling over Egypt, there was a sheikh who was teaching at Al-Azhar, when Al-Azhar was at once a university as well as a masjid, a jami'. And it's mentioned that this sheikh was teaching all day long inside of the masjid. And he was very tired at the end of the day. And so he stretched out his legs, pointing them away from the qibla and toward one of the pillars inside of the masjid. As he was stretching his legs out, one of the governors, the chief governor of Egypt for the Ottomans, walked in with his entourage. And everyone seeing the governor, they stood up out of respect. Except for the sheikh. He had a long day. And he, as a sheikh, a carrier of the prophetic inheritance we spoke about, the sacred knowledge, he wasn't going to humiliate himself. So he stayed where he was, on the floor with his legs spread out, stretching out towards the pillar in order to rest them. This governor saw the sheikh sitting there, and he became very offended at what he felt was disrespect. He didn't say anything at the time, but when he went back to his home, he spoke with his advisors and said, I want to do something to humiliate him and teach him a lesson, to teach him respect. And his advisor said, that's a bad idea, because he's very well respected by the people. And if you do that, it could have the opposite effect that you're seeking. So he thought, this governor, how can I humiliate this sheikh? And the idea came to him that he would send one of his officials there in the circle of the sheikh when he's teaching, and very loudly and publicly offer him a large sum of money. He thought that by doing this, he would be able to kill two birds with one stone. He would be able to humiliate the sheikh by him taking the money in the presence of his students, and they would also indebt him to that governor and make him under his control. So some days later, it is said that the official under the governor went to the gathering where the sheikh was teaching inside the Masjid al-Azhar. And he very loudly said, oh Sheikh, take this 1,000 gold liras and use it for whatever you need. He was hoping that the Sheikh would accept the money and humiliate himself in front of the people and also indebt himself to that governor and be under his control. But it didn't work, because the Sheikh looked at him and said very calmly, keep the money, I have no need of it. Tell the governor that the one who stretched out his feet will not stretch out his hand. And he refused it. He maintained izzatun nafs and karama, the dignity and self-respect of the believer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only encouraged us to have this quality of self-respect, he also forbade the opposite, which is humiliation. To humiliate ourselves. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. It is not fitting, it is not befitting or appropriate for a believer to humiliate himself or herself. What does that look like? What is it to humiliate ourselves? When a person is lacking in self-respect, they become a doormat. They become a yes man. When people ask them for something, they never have the ability to say no. They're always seeking to please people no matter what, even if it causes them emotional harm. They never establish boundaries. They tolerate disrespect because they do not respect themselves enough to demand respect from others. The person who is lacking in self-respect will be an excessive people pleaser, and they will be conflict avoidant to the extreme. The person lacking in self-respect will be overly concerned with the approval of other people. They rely too much on the validation of others for their sense of self. They may do things seeking negative attention because they do not have inherent self-respect. They'll sacrifice their self-dignity in order to gain the approval of others. Or they will go along with bad behaviors in order to keep others from being upset with them. They don't want to rock the boat, so they sacrifice their dignity and self-respect and go along with the crowd. The person who is lacking in this izzatun nafs will take their morality, their sense of right and wrong, from the crowd. A person who is lacking in this self-respect does not have strength of character. The person with self-respect has strength of character. They recognize truth as truth and falsehood as falsehood. As the Prophet ﷺ taught us to ask in the dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. O Allah, show me truth as truth and enable me to follow it. And show me falsehood as falsehood and enable me to avoid it. The person with self-respect upholds truth because it's truth. And they speak out against falsehood because it's falsehood. But if a person is lacking in self-respect, their morality is subject to the vote of the crowd. Imagine the person who sacrifices their morality, their principles, because those things are no longer popular. Imagine a time comes when people say 1 + 1 = 99. If you value yourself and have self-respect, and you know that 1 + 1 = 2, it doesn't matter if the whole world goes crazy and says 1 + 1 = 99. You have self-respect. You're not going to sacrifice what you know to be true just because of the crowd, because you have self-respect. But if a person is lacking in that, they will sacrifice their morals for whatever is seen as cool, nice, progressive, and enlightened today. And they're going to water down or minimize, if not outright deny, what is truth, just to get along with the crowd. Consider the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never sacrificed the truth. The Sahaba never sacrificed the truth for popularity. In the days when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was struggling and calling to Allah in Mecca in the early days, the idol worshippers began to ridicule him and oppose him. And some of the leaders of Quraysh went to his uncle Abu Talib and were complaining. They said, "You are our elder. We always respect and esteem you. But your brother's son has set up this new religion. He's insulting our idols. And he is accusing us of infidelity. Give him some advice. Make him abandon this task that he is upon. And if he doesn't stop, we know what to do. We have other ways of handling this." Abu Talib went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "All the people have been united in their enmity towards you, and they're coming to me with these complaints. Hostility among relatives is not a good thing, and they want me to stop you from calling them disbelievers and idol worshippers and speaking ill of their idols." Upon hearing this, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Dear uncle, know that even if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand in order for me to abandon this religion and stop calling to it, I will never do that. I will never give up. Because either Allah will spread this deen and my duty is completed, or I will sacrifice my life on this path." Morality is not subject to vote. It's not a democratic process. Truth is truth and falsehood is falsehood. If a person is lacking in this self-respect and honor and dignity, they will look for approval with the crowd and inevitably sacrifice their values and morals for that approval. But when you have self-respect and you have boundaries and you respect truth as truth, you will never sacrifice them no matter what people say. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us that self-respect and that honor, to give us dignity, make us people of dignity, and honor and respect people who purify their hearts and ennoble their character through that drive to be better people upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد الصادق الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم has also told us, إن الله تعالى يحب معالي الأمور أشرافها ويكره سفسافها. Indeed, Allah most exalted loves lofty, noble, dignified matters, and he dislikes loathsome and low matters. And it is with a healthy sense of self-respect, izzatun nafs and karama, that a person aspires to good character. It is only with this sense of self-respect that we can aspire to good character. Because if we're lacking in personal dignity and honor, we will leave good character and embrace bad character because we simply do not care. Self-respect is not about arrogance. It's not about being prideful or having conceit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibit kibir, arrogance. They prohibit ujub, conceit. But they order self-respect and dignity. One is prohibited and one is a command. Kibir is not being dignified and having self-respect. Kibir, arrogance, is not demanding that others respect your boundaries. Kibir is simply looking down on other people and thinking that you're better than them. Self-respect is not thinking you're better than other people, but is thinking and knowing that Allah has honored you. Because Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah has honored the children of Adam, and I am a son of Adam, therefore I am honored. I am ennobled by Allah's ennobling, so I have to act as such. Without looking down on anyone, this is the path of Islam. Self-respect means respecting your boundaries. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to be humble, not spineless. He teaches us to be modest, not gullible or naive. He teaches us to set boundaries. And therefore, we must learn to set boundaries for ourselves and to politely but firmly say no when we need to say no. To respect yourself, you also have to respect your body. To respect yourself, you have to understand that your body is an amana, it's a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be asked about how you treated your body. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa ahabu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. The strong believer is better than the weak believer and more beloved to Allah, though there is goodness in all of them. The person with self-respect will respect their body. They will take care of themselves. Likewise, self-respect means you respect your body by not uncovering it, not exposing your awrah, your nakedness, men or women. If a person exposes their awrah, they are lacking in self-respect. And we're not saying that a person who is lacking in self-respect has zero self-respect. Because self-respect is not a zero-sum game where you have either 100% or 0%. But a person who is exposing themselves, exposing their awrah, they are lacking self-respect. They are lacking respect for their body. The person with self-respect has to respect their environment as well. The person with self-respect does not live in filth, because they know that outer disorder reflects inward disorder. And they want to have inner order, and that is reflected by outer order. They respect their spaces. They respect their homes. They respect their workplace. They keep things clean because they have self-respect. The person with self-respect respects their word. They respect their time. They respect all of these things. And by working on this self-respect and dignity and honor, a person will obtain so many benefits. The person with self-respect will have a stronger moral core and a desire to do better because they take responsibility for their actions. They respect themselves. They hold themselves to a higher standard because they respect themselves. So they don't make excuses when there are no proper excuses to be made. The person with self-respect will also have better relationships with others because their relationship will be based on mutual respect. They're not going to put themselves in a situation where they're being taken advantage of, where they're being abused. And if they're in that situation, they will establish boundaries. They will say no because they respect themselves. They will not be a doormat. And lastly, dear brothers and sisters, with self-respect, a person will have contentment. The person with self-respect will not feel the need to compare themselves to others. A person with self-respect will not have jealousy, hasad, envy, and rancor towards other people based on comparing what they have to what they don't have and so on, because they respect themselves. So what if that person has more than me materially? I'm not going to wish that they lose what they have, because I respect myself. Just because they may have more than me in some area of life doesn't mean that I am lesser of a person. I respect myself. Why would I be so lowly to be sneaky about people and backbite them and plot against them and have hasad towards them and wish their downfall? I respect myself. That will be a fruit of self-respect, contentment. And with that self-respect, we can see those areas in our life that need fixing, that need improvement. And we're a constant work in progress. With that self-respect, we will not be satisfied with where we are. We will ask Allah to strengthen us to be better people. Because the objective for the believer is to look to those who are better than him or her and strive to be better. When it comes to matters of deen, they don't look to those who are seemingly less than them. They look to those who are better than them, and they strive to be better. And in matters of the world, of money, of things of dunya, they look to those who have less than them. So they're thankful for what they have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beautify our character, to strengthen our sense of self-respect, to make us a people of dignity, of honor, a people who establish boundaries for themselves and respect the boundaries of others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our inward and our outward equally purified and ennobled. Allahumma kama hasanta khalqana fahassin akhlaqana. We make the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, as you have adorned our physical forms, we ask you to beautify our character as well. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد زين المرسلين والأخيار وأكرم من أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.